We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I guess that's my intro to say welcome to the PHLY Sixers podcast.
Look who it is, our boy Devon.
You finally decided to show up for work. Congratulations,
I needed a couple of months off. So, you know, hey, I decided to take a few months off.
And you just do a couple of shows with Kyle, you'll need another couple months off.
Okay. Well,
wow.
All right. Look, really shots fired already, huh? Shots fired already. But no, it is great to be back with you guys and Kyle Newbeck, Derek Bodner. I'm Devon Givens, and welcome to the PHLY Sixers podcast once again. We have a lot to get into. I'm not the only one making a return. We'll talk about Kelly Oubre a little bit later, and we'll get into James Harden and the comments made in the story with The Athletic. So we have a lot to get into, but guys, welcome.
I'm saying welcome to you. I've been here. He's been here. We've been in the trenches without the guy who's like the actual microphone presence on the show, yeah. Which I don't know if you've heard Derek and I talk, but very much print guys.
Yes. Well, no, you guys have been doing great. Look, all jokes aside, just paying attention to seeing everything that's been going on from the people chatting, and it's been great. I can't wait to interact with everybody because it has been 3 months where I haven't been able to talk to anybody and listen
not
to you guys.
Not even you guys. Like giving you the cold shoulder. Everybody,
just the Heisman, just the stiff arm of just keeping me away, and we all understand. But no, it's great to be here, and you guys have been doing a fantastic job. So don't sell yourselves short of what you have been doing and driving the show and leading the show. I've seen the numbers. They're great.
Well, I mean, look, I think Kyle and I are realistic of who and what we are. Like, we have been writers for most of our career. Sure, we've had a podcast, but we have not hosted a show. I think when we designed this group, you were very intentional and integral part. So we have figured out how to get by over the last 3 months, but we are certainly looking forward for you to be here, not only because of your expertise, but also because of your expertise in the Sixers, but also because you are very experienced running a show. We think this is going to be a great lineup.
It's going to be a blast. I have a lot of things to get off my chest.
I also want to say very sincerely, because I know I give Derek a lot of shit both on the show and off
my
the air.
My grandmother is convinced that you hate me,
tell your grandmother that's all love. But Derek deserves a lot of credit because he essentially has been the host for the last 3 months. Like when I'm at the arena and we've had Rich and Renee and Roy and people in the second chair essentially filling in, it's been on Derek to lead in the show, do all four ad reads, which at some point Devon is going to have to do some ad reads here and see if he
can handle that.
Does better than we
I'm
do.
I'm not doing a single ad read for 3 months. What are you talking about?
So I just want to give Derek some well-deserved credit for stepping into a role that he was not probably expecting when we started And now it's all ceded to you, buddy. No pressure, but it's all on you.
No worries. I got it. And we see all the people in the chat, and we'll get to everybody. It's pretty cool to see everybody in here. A lot of names I recognize and a lot of names I recognize from watching you guys. And, of course, you'll give your shout-outs at the end to let everybody know. We appreciate it.
You might be the shout-out guy now.
I don't know. I'm not doing. I'll do the ad reads, but you do the shout-out guy. You do that one. So, but, no, it's great to be back and be here with Bree and watching Renee. And, as you said, looked up one day and I saw Roy in here. I was like, yo, look at that. You got a little guest. Yeah. And, you know, so it's pretty
great
cool.
To have
Rich,
Roy on.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
And having Rich in here. So, it's cool. I'll be here with the guys, of course, 5 days a week, and everything just keeps going. I'm just a new piece to it all, hoping that I don't mess things up. So there's that. But
I'm not worried about you messing things up. I'm mostly just, we've seen each other so little. How the hell are you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, for a lot of people who didn't know, because I am private, so a lot of things I am pretty private with a lot of stuff, and people know me in the past, know about my kids, my family,
this
and all
great.
That stuff.
I have all kinds of time in the chat.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
I'm a professional chatter. This is perfect.
I tore my Achilles in July, mid-July, and a lot of people didn't know that. And so it was kind of good to be off for the time that I was off to focus on the rehab and just making sure I got things done. Tore my ACL 5 years ago. So I've had the two big major injuries in a five-year span. Still think I could play a little bit. Yeah. And that was that. So that was something that I was doing for a good portion of my time out, still rehabbing. I'm 4 months in, but I can walk with sneakers now. I still have a little bit of a limp, but I'm hard on myself about that. So just fighting through that. And but hey, that's just part of it. So that's what I've been doing. A lot of family time, reading things, just hanging out with my friends and my family. They're keeping me focused. Like, hey, let's go do this, let's do that, so they can keep me busy. So that's where a lot of my family, who I'm sure are watching and listening, and that's a lot of what I have been doing a lot of this time.
Well, good. Now you have 3 months of Sixers Take saved up. So Derek and I are just going to take our leave, and I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, so I do. I mean, if you guys want to throw different things at me, I have thoughts, as I've always had over the years. I have plenty of thoughts of things that have gone on. And, of course, we'll get into one starting with James Harden, with the things that he said in The Athletic, and we'll get to Kelly Oubre a little bit later, because I know what you thought about Kelly Oubre coming in. I've had my thoughts. I saw him up close a few years ago for two seasons for specific reasons, of course, up close and personal watching him. And I've had thoughts, and I'm pleasantly surprised at the things that I saw before he went out with the unfortunate injury off the floor. So yeah, I have a lot of things to say, but I appreciate everybody reaching out on both on social media and emailing and text that I'm close with people that I've got to know over the years. Of course, in my other spot that I love doing that for so many years, but I'm very excited to do this. So glad to be back. Glad to be able to interact with you. If you've noticed, if you hit me up on social media and I didn't respond, very strategic, because I just wanted to stay off of social media and let things happen the way that they were happy.
There were no texts sent between Devon and I over the last 3 months. No evidence that we had ever communicated in any single way. So that's very important.
Yeah. And that was tough, man, because I'm so used to just interacting with everybody, and I always get back to people on text pretty quickly. And that was tough, because the reason why I am a part of this show with you two is, I always said this before, that I feel like everybody out there with what I do and what we do, building a family, that kind of thing. And I've gotten very close with a lot of people over the years, talking to everybody about Sixers and Eagles and Flyers and Phillies, whatever we've talked about, mostly Sixers, of course, and we'll do that here. But it has been tough not to be able to talk to everybody. So I apologize for not responding to you. Now I will respond to you.
You were like the inverse Marshawn Lynch. You just weren't here so you wouldn't get fined.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I did not want to be fined. That did not want to be fine.
So let's get to it, man.
Let's get to
it. What the hell do you make of this James Harden thing today? Well, that goes to both of you / myself as well.
Well, I mean, in the beginning, in the offseason, when we started to see how things were winding down with Boston in the playoffs and the typical collapse of the Sixers in the second round and him being a part of it now, I had my thoughts going into the offseason where, even if he wanted out and the Houston thing started to happen all the way back in December, and we started to hear all these rumblings about the Houston Rockets, my thing was this: 1 year remaining on the contract, if he decided to opt out or opt in, whatever it was, that he wasn't going to have the same type of leverage that he had before leaving Houston and leaving Brooklyn. So the only surprising part for me watching all this play out was, hey, he can't go in and blow up the whole thing because you're 30 plus years of age now. We've seen another early exit and you were a big part of it. While you did have three fantastic games with the 40 plus, and a lot of people forget about game five where he was tremendous, playing a tremendous floor game with what he did and the double-double and low number assists, and they went in on the road in Boston. I didn't think he had a lot of leverage to just go and cause a lot of problems. Yeah. And while we saw some reports where you reported some things and we saw some national things that he would go in and just cause trouble, he really didn't. He missed those first couple of days of training camp, no media day, and then he popped up in Colorado when you guys were there and nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. And that's all he really could do, because who wanted him? You already opted in. You didn't have much leverage there. So
a decision he defended today in the interview, by the way,
and we'll
his
get
decision
to
opt in.
Because again, you did that. You can't blame anybody else. You did that. You had an option.
I actually
opting in or opting out.
I don't think he's wrong though. Like one of the more interesting, there were a bunch of things he admitted to in that, one of which was a meeting with Houston, which not entirely, you can't really do that, but we'll get into that.
That was the obvious tampering.
Pretty
wild.
We can
just say it. Yeah.
Well, a guy who's never a free agent. Yeah. You can't take free agent meetings. That's not how that works. But he also admitted, like, hey, look, the teams that had cap space, they wouldn't be interested in somebody like me. They tend to be young teams up and coming. I wouldn't necessarily be interested in them, so I had to opt in. I don't necessarily think he was wrong. I think this was probably the right play for him. And I think it ended up working out for the Sixers. I actually ended up thinking it worked out for everyone involved that's not a fan. Like, it worked out for the team because they ended up getting stuff back for him. It worked out for Harden because it got to where he wanted to go.
Worked out for us. We got lots of content.
He probably ended up getting a better salary than he would have as a free agent anyway. I actually don't think. Now, the question comes, which I always go back to, was his best course of action opting out and then coming back to the Sixers? Was what Daryl Morey was going to offer him probably going to end up being the best contract that he would have gotten? I think there's a chance that that's true. Outside of that, though, I think opting out to walk away from the Sixers would have been tough for him. And I think he admitted that in the Sam Amick piece.
Yeah. I mean, the critical piece of information to me, and this is still a he said type of situation, where James is outright saying, Daryl promised me a max. Like, got explicitly asked,
yep,
were you going to get a max, or did Daryl say you're going to get a max? Yes. Outright says yes. And that's a level that he had not gone to before. Him and his representation had both danced around it.
In fact, they very explicitly were asked that by the league office to investigate, and he said, No, I was referring to the fact that I thought I would be traded quicker.
Yes, so, I mean, this is a new development in that way, and the team has continued to deny that. I mean, Morey has denied promising absolutely anything, let alone a max contract. So to me, the interesting part is, you know, where do we settle here in these muddy details that keep coming out, right? Like, when did Daryl Morey promise James a max? Because we know very clearly, this has been said, been reported on by us, by other reporters I think we trust, that after the season ended, it was no comunicado. Right. That was, they completely cut ties, as you pointed out, Derek, that he's taken meetings with Houston after Ime Udoka got hired in late April, which is supposed to be illegal and doesn't happen because tampering is illegal and isn't supposed to happen according to the NBA. So the max component is interesting. We always have kind of assumed that, right? Where he turned down the max in Brooklyn. You would think a guy of his stature is turning it down for good reason because he believes he's getting it elsewhere. But the league has said, I mean, their ruling on the whole tampering thing said that he wasn't offered that. There was no, you know, quid pro quo. I'm the one who makes fun of Derek for talking for a living now and flubbing up. Well, so that was great.
And that's also, I think, one important aspect to this. Harden, when he said he was promised a max, he said that Morey said that to him coming into the playoffs this year. When the league investigated it, both 2 years ago and this past offseason, they were wondering whether or not there was a promise when he took that pay cut back in 2022. So even what he admitted to now, it doesn't directly relate to the investigations, multiple investigations the league has launched. That being said, you do wonder if that those comments, even if they don't cover the same time period, might draw some scrutiny.
And look, and this is where we are with him, and with him not getting that max contract that he thought he was deserving of. I, for one, didn't think he was deserving of it. And I'm glad that Daryl Morey didn't give it to him. I don't know if the ownership stepped in and said, hey, we saw what we saw in that postseason. We're not doing that. And that was the right call, in my opinion, of that. James Harden can feel how he feels. Again, just looking at it and looking at the product on the floor and knowing how much you had to pay Maxey potentially and some other things that you needed to do, there was no way, no how that I was looking at James Harden and thinking that he was deserving of a max contract. And I'm glad they didn't give it to him because, look, you see how things are playing out now. As you said, Derek, it worked out maybe better for both parties. He's in L.A. where he wanted to be. And even with the Tyrese Maxey part, it's been a revelation of him being a point guard, which many of us didn't think he could do what he is currently doing right now by handling the ball, running the offense the way that he's doing. I again, am for one happy, and I know many people are at paying attention to what you guys have been doing and talking to so many that he did not get that max contract because he was not deserving of that. At this stage of his career, not at all. And look, we'll keep it going and, you know, keep going with the conversation about everything. We'll get to Kelly Oubre in just a little bit, but we also want to tell you about Chocolate Milk, a big sponsor here. Yes, I have to tell you about Chocolate Milk, and since I mentioned my rehab and all, I got to tell you, I do my rehab. Go to the Chocolate Milk. Why not? Because we have a new great sponsor. We have a new sponsor, Pennsylvania Dairy Farmers and Team Chocolate Milk. Professional and college athletes, not just them, us too. The people that still think they can get it
calling
done.
Calling us not professional, Devon?
On the floor.
Take that personally.
On the floor. Athletes have known.
You've never seen me play ball, so how can you even say that?
Well, didn't we play?
We actually did.
Yeah, that's we did. Right. Yeah, in the media game. Yep. Have known about the power of chocolate milk as a refuel and recovery beverage for a long time. Chocolate milk provides high quality protein for muscle repair, electrolytes for hydration, and calcium for strong bones as well. That's why studies consistently show that chocolate milk is an ideal sports recovery beverage. Whether you're recovering after a workout at the gym, I'll raise my hand for that one, a run around Boathouse Row or a bike ride on the Schuylkill Trail, chocolate milk is an ideal post-workout beverage. Taking care of your body doesn't end when the clock hits zero on your workout routine. Give your body what it needs to properly recover. Make sure you get in there on that chocolate milk. What could be better than a scientifically proven recovery beverage made right here in Pennsylvania that also tastes great? Well, learn more about how chocolate milk can help you refuel and recover after your next workout by visiting teamchocolatemilk.com.
We also want to tell you about Wheelhouse Cards. Wheelhouse is our go-to sports card, gift, and apparel shop in the Delaware Valley. Their motto is cards and community because love of sports unites us all. They carry all of your favorite brands like Topps Chrome Baseball and Mosaic Football, as well as t-shirts, hats, and hoodies from brands like Mitchell & Ness, 47 Brand, Junk Food Starter, and Scheib Vintage Sports. Looking to grade your sports card collection? Wheelhouse offers PSA grading submissions. They also host tons of different family-friendly events and birthday parties every month. Stop into either of their stores in Wayne or Westchester, open 7 days per week at 11 a.m. Use code PHLY and get $10 off any purchase of $25 or more in the store. Also, be sure to give him a follow on Instagram at Wheelhouse Cards.
I tell you what, James Harden out there in L.A. looks like he needs some chocolate milk. The way he looks fatigued.
Listen, boy, every now and again. You are not kidding because I have watched quite a bit of that Clippers team. I will say they had a nice win over, admittedly, a pretty bad Golden State team on Saturday where they came back from 22 points down. Paul George hit a crazy step back three to win that game. So, you know, showing some signs of life, but real disaster. I also want to make sure we shout it out. Harrison G gave us a super chat that we skipped right over in the first segment. He did say, get Pompey on and assemble the Sixers beat Avengers. You know, Devon's got a direct line to him.
I do.
Do a show with him. And certainly we see Keith all the time. So, but thank you, Harrison, for dropping us a super chat.
I'm sure he wouldn't mind stepping in as a guest. Yeah. You know, coming in and hanging out with us. Talking a little Sixers, as we will do every day here, 5 days a week, of course, with the guys. Rich Hoffman also involved. We'll keep this going. As we talk about the James Harden piece, we get to Kelly Oubre also because Derek, he has some things to say there at practice too. Yeah. So
I don't know if we're done with James.
No, I feel like we got to really
drill down on this, right? Like, Devon, as you pointed out, there was no way they could give him a max contract.
You couldn't.
If you were going to criticize Morey here, it's more from the outside looking in saying this would have been a two-faced move in some ways, right? Like to say, hey, I'm going to give you a max. And then to not only not give him a max, but not be in contact with him for basically the duration of the offseason up until free agency opened. The problem for James was that it was such a culture shock to go from, you know, Morey is his guy, right? Like that was, they had a decade long relationship that he compared to a marriage. And then you're sitting here like just ghosting the guy at one of the most pivotal parts of his career.
What was he supposed to do? Of course, they've already.
He was supposed to tamper like the Rockets did.
But that's what got them in the place that they were in there. That's why they were investigating.
Okay, I'm not saying that it's right.
Like, no, I hear you.
What I'm saying
talking
is,
about from James Harden's perspective,
yes.
You know, his people should at least understand that, or at least have some of those people have those conversations and not James Harden expecting to hear from James Harden, from Daryl Morey.
Like that, I don't think that was a problem at all. I think Daryl knew if he said, hey, I'm going to offer you $3,100, you probably end up in the same spot. I don't think he wanted to let him know, I'm going to, what James feels like, shortchange you. I think he thought, let him hit the market, realize Houston isn't interested, none of the other teams have cap space, and then maybe that $300 or $4,130 or whatever he was going to offer him looks a little more appealing. I don't think it was a tampering at all. It's a hell of an excuse, though, because right now Daryl Morey is perfect theoretically. He didn't get a chance to like the market. He didn't have to make an offer that would have proven James right if he did actually make a promise. So he's not actually a liar because he never had the opportunity to make a formal offer. And also, like the fans, he never had to make an offer that fans would have regretted. I think everything ended up working out, I think, for the Sixers. I really do. I don't. I'm very happy he didn't get that contract. That would have been devastating. Maybe he made a promise that he shouldn't have. Maybe James just felt secure with his longtime running mate. Maybe there's something that was spoken, not, you know, maybe fell short of a promise. Regardless of what it was, I'm actually fairly comfortable with where the Sixers ended up.
I mean, how could you not be? I think we've said it on the show already, Derek, that we would have had to convince ourselves in a lot of ways to, like, all right, we got to spin this to my, like, not to the audience. Like, I can't tell Philly fans how to think because they wouldn't listen to me anyway. But I would sit here to myself and be like, okay, he was a very good player last year. They went to game 7 with a very good Boston team, blah, 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 another year of chemistry, all that. And I'd be convincing myself, like, yeah, you really want to watch that slow paced, just bullshit each and every day, each and every year with this guy for probably the next few years while he's on this bloated contract, getting older, getting slower, getting frankly worse at basketball, because that's what happens when guys get older. I would have been convincing myself of something that now I can just say, it's great that they didn't do that, because now it's Tyrese Maxey and they're playing fast.
Go.
And they have like 3 or 4 wings on the team that can play, which is basically never happened in my lifetime. So it's been a real luxury.
And I'll add the Nick Nurse piece of it, because of course we didn't know what was going to happen, knowing from watching Nick Nurse and how he likes his teams to play. James Harden offensively, maybe a little bit, because he's an elite scorer and he can pass the basketball, but the other stuff just doesn't necessarily fit. I was very curious to find out if he was going to be here, how they would have incorporated James Harden to a Nick Nurse offense. But now watching it, this is more free flowing. This is more of what name drop, talking to Alvin Williams when this happened, when Nick Nurse was hired, who does TV, of course, in Toronto. He's like, I just don't know, because who fits it better? And we'll get to rotations and all that. De'Anthony Melton does, because De'Anthony Melton will pick you up 75 feet away from the basket. James Harden's not doing that. And that's not Tyrese Maxey's MO. And we've seen it a little bit here in this new version of Tyrese Maxey, a little bit in this defense, of course, for what De'Anthony Melton does and some of the others that Robert Covington, we'll get to all of that. But defensively, I also don't know how would they have hid James Harden?
That's the thing. Like, to your point, Devon, I'm sure you've seen this watching them the last few months. Something we bring up all the time is buy-in. Like, these guys are all playing just themselves.
The system.
But it's a real thing. Like, have 5 guys who are all bought into the same goal rather than, and it's both sides of the ball. Like, Harden gets a lot of flack, rightfully so, on defense, right? For, he's checked out off the ball and he blows a rotation or doesn't run back, whatever it is. I think what I've noticed this year is it's almost as dramatic on offense, because when you see Tyrese Maxey in that two-man game with Joel where they run a handoff and they're blocked off. Okay, Tyrese is coming back around the screen. They go and they try to run a pick and roll after that, and they're running different actions. They're doing different things, and it's one to the next, to the next, to the next. They're flowing through two and three plays at a time, whereas when it's James and Joel, it was either run a pick and roll and Harden drives or hits Joel with the pocket pass, or James throws it to Joel on the block and then just kind of stands there for most of the shot clock, because that's not ever been his game. He doesn't get involved off the ball. And so now at the very least, like, yes, the skill level is lower. Yes, they have a less starry team without him, but there is real buy-in and movement on both sides of the ball that I think all of us would agree is very important.
Now, look, and I obviously the draft picks they got back are going to be key for the next trade. Matching salary is going to be key for the next trade. The veterans they got back and the forwards they got back are helping them right now. But all of that might even take secondary to just having a chance to evaluate Tyrese Maxey and his ability to run an offense and your ability to buy in to him as a, you know, lead guard and a primary initiator. And none of that would have happened if James was here. And over the summer, you know, I think I said two things about this. First, that the best version of the Sixers team was with James Harden on it. And the second was that I was absolutely terrified of that contract and that it could end up being the worst contract in the deal. I thought both of those were true, and I didn't really know how to reconcile that. Well, it turns out that first statement was wrong. I think the best version of the Sixers team might be the one that they currently have, not the one with James Harden. And if it's even close, but you add in the benefit of Maxey getting those reps, of not giving Harden one of the worst contracts in the league, it was hell to go through for those 4 months or however long it took. But I am very okay with where they're at.
I am too. I am too. And again, just the Nick Nurse part of it, it would have been tough to see, because once he made that system comment, that was always in there. We already knew who he was in Houston, and even buying in a little bit there with the Brooklyn Nets and buying in with the Sixers under Doc Rivers. But that was always in there, and we saw it watching it every day for the last year and a half that he was here. He needed to get that off his chest to say that he was the system and he didn't like how he played. And we knew. I mean, I remember his first year here in the playoffs with Doc Rivers and the Sixers, and he's waving off plays. Doc Rivers is saying something out of timeout, and we're not running that. You know what I mean? And that was always
which,
in it,
by the way, is oak for your star point guard.
Yes.
I'm okay with. Sure. It's like sometimes they are seeing something that you just can't from the sideline. But to your point, Devon, it's more that it's a systemic, just ingrained belief in him that, like, I got to play this way. And you can see in the interview he did.
It's going to come out at somewhere where it's going to disrupt what was working.
The interview that he did, he straight up said, he's like, look, like, I've done the sacrifice thing the last few years, and now it's just like, this is where I want to be. I'm going to make the most money and try to win. It's like, okay, at least he's clear with what he wants. Sure. Like, I appreciate on some level that James could be honest with himself and say, I care about getting paid and I want to be somewhere where I can play how I want to play.
Here's what I'll say, though. I think because he brought up the sacrifice not only to Amick, but also like right after game 7 in Boston.
Yes.
I sacrificed and we still lost in the second round, something to that effect. I think he wants credit for sacrificing, both financially and in terms of his role. But I also think deep down he knows he can't play the way he used to play. And I think when you watch game 6 and 7 of the Celtics series, he knew he couldn't finish inside. Yeah. He knew he had to drive and kick. So deep down, there's almost like a struggle within James of, I want to be seen as someone who can take over. I want to be seen as someone who can sacrifice. But deep down, I know I can't. And it's just weird, sort of like his words don't always match his play, don't always match his actions and decisions. And I think he's at a bit of a crossroads where he doesn't truly know who he is as a player. And that might be screwing with him a little bit too.
The great players are always 100%. The last ones to know that they are losing it.
I mean, dude, Iverson, that was my guy growing up. Like, he's the giant part of the reason I love basketball. And when the end came for him, that end came very quickly, because who he thought he still could be or was not who he was anymore.
And we see just imagine 4 years and 130. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And imagine trying to trade that later on. You couldn't.
Especially
do it.
Like, think about Bradley Beal, who we don't know because he hasn't played this year, but ostensibly still a very good player. He got moved for basically nothing because of the new CBA and the constraints that are on teams with the salary cap, because that contract and the no trade clause, which is a very important distinction, that contract was so bad that the Suns got him for comparatively very little for the caliber of player that Bradley Beal is.
Russell Westbrook's on team number what at this point?
A lot.
Too many.
A one-year deal. And yeah.
Let's see. Thunder, Rockets, Wizards, Lakers.
Jazz, technically, because he was traded there.
I'm not going to count that. And now the Clips. So really five. But for a guy who's, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And now he's getting passed around like they pushed him to the bench. Like, see you later, buddy.
And again, there's a whole crazy thing about this is because I think at some point, like we mentioned, the Sixers are in a better spot than they would have been if they gave him a contract. I truthfully don't even know how much credit to give Morey because I think he probably would have brought him back at a decent number that I probably would have been uncomfortable with. But with the way it worked out, James in LA, it's LA's problem. And the Sixers are not looking perfect because they've lost a couple close games here, had some injury problems, yada, 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 but certainly in a better spot than a number of the other scenarios.
Well, look, and we understand that that's the Clippers' problem now, but hey, it was brought back up because of the conversation that he had with Sam Amick, and we needed to discuss it, and we did that, and I had to get some things off my chest too. He had to say he was the system. I had some things to get off my chest about.
We're going to pretend you're in a cryogenic chamber for the last 3 months. Be like, hey, Devon, what do you think about this thing that happened? So we'll get there. It's one player, one piece at a time. But
we do have before we get to the next break. We do have one super chat coming in from Ash. He wants to know how much pull you have with your cousin. Can you hook that up?
So, okay. One thing, of course.
Thank you, by the way, to Ash. Always regular super chat, regular commenter in the stream. We love Ash.
I appreciate
his full comment. Dreams in the day with Devon, yada, yada, yada. Certainly Devon warrants that praise. Maybe the rest of us don't. But any chance you can talk to your boy, Mikael, into asking out of Brooklyn, if only we could have drafted him.
So, when he was at Villanova and coming out,
it's not tampering for you. You don't play on the team.
No, it's not. I can have the conversation. But the one thing that was always uncomfortable when he became who he became, I did my job for the family and talking about him and making sure that, you know, his name for what I could do was out there. It was always uncomfortable talking about Mikael because then you would get people saying, all you want to do is talk about your cousin and all this stuff. And I don't bring him up. People bring him up,
of course,
and he would do an intro on the show and things of that nature. But as far as talking to him about come here, Ash, I'll say it like I always say when he was in Phoenix, he was very happy in Phoenix, and he is very happy in Brooklyn.
And the problem isn't the problem is that any team who wants him, they're going to have to trade a fucking ton. And the Sixers like probably don't even have enough assets anyway.
Here's the good news.
So
you have
a
relative who's very good at basketball. Right. It's not some dude who's a bum who's like, I got to really upsell him.
It's the, you're bragging about your cousin. No, I would love to, but I'm also a professional. Number one, it's not my personality. Number two, he has done so much where I don't have to do that.
Exactly.
And his game speaks for itself. And hey, you never know. Maybe we will have him on a show at some point. Ash, I hope that might help out a little bit where he will come on as we preview the Nets and the Sixers or something like that.
Well, listen, if you want to go see Mikael Bridges the next time that he's in town,
bang,
I know exactly where you need to go. That is the Game Time app, because buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. They got killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. So you can stop stressing over the tickets, start getting hype for all the fun you'll have. Now we can turn it into a big family affair when Brooklyn comes back.
Can I wear my jersey on the show?
You can do whatever I'm you want to do. That, right? I don't know.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Could you have a Villanova one?
No, I don't have a Nova one. Christ. I can get a Nova
one. All right, do that. Okay. Do that. It's a compromise.
I feel like that's probably appropriate, but
it's not a
we can have the friends and family section where everyone boos Ben Simmons and cheers Mikael Bridges. That'll be a fun dynamic. Hey. If you guys want to be there, I just have to keep reiterating. The Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for good reason. You get images of your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Buy tickets in a matter of seconds. Two taps, you're set. Tickets are sent directly to your phone. Never have to dig through your email. And tickets make great holiday gifts. So if there's that special someone in your life that you can leave it until Christmas Eve, I wouldn't recommend that. Prices might surge a little bit, but you can know that with the Game Time guarantee, it means you'll always get the best price. And if you find tickets in the same section a row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PHLY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code PHLY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
We did have a couple more super chats come in while Kyle was doing the ad read. From Mark Booker, had nothing to say, just wanted to say hello to Devon. So we appreciate that with a pretty wild
a
super
whopping
chat.
A whopping $20 super chat. Very, too. Shout out to Mark. Generous.
So can I jump in on that?
Yes. Yeah.
Mark Booker is one of my best friends.
Okay.
It's like my brother.
I was going to say, you have to really like Devon to drop $20.
Yeah. We've
met a lot. I don't know if I drop $20 on
Devon. Well, again, I've known him since we were like 11.
Okay.
And he's like my brother, where, you know, our kids are, you know, godfather, uncle, that's Uncle Mark, I'm Uncle D, all that type
of stuff.
Oh, that's
awesome.
So that's my brother. And
Do you
so
know
thanks,
Bill?
Mark. Appreciate
you know
it.
The next one?
I don't know.
Okay.
So well, happy to have you with us, Mark.
From Bill. He says, also, welcome to Devon. Question is, how much risk do you think the 76ers are at for getting punished for Morey potentially being guilty of tampering?
I mean, you brought it up. They've been investigated twice now.
And nothing
to your point, and nothing has
and
come
here's
up.
What I'll
so.
Say. Again, the key here was that Harden mentioned this past spring as a timeline when he was given that promise. That kind of a tampering would just be like legitimate tampering. You're talking about a second round pick or two. Nobody really cares about that. The league doesn't care as much about it, and the Sixers don't care about the punishment nearly as much. It's the circumvention where if you go back to 2022, where there was an explicit, I'm taking less money now, so you give me a future contract.
Yes.
That's what the league cares about. That's what the Sixers care about. The league has investigated that twice. Unless Harden has just been hiding evidence, I don't think they're at much risk of that.
I mean, we'll see. James said he's very intelligent. Maybe he's been sitting on a manila envelope filled with evidence to take down the Sixers from not the inside anymore, from the outside. Never know.
Never know. Never know. No. But hey, we also have to get into one of the moves that he made this offseason, late addition to the team in what, September? Was it September where they brought in Kelly Oubre?
I believe it was. Yeah, it was probably early, mid-September.
Yeah, about a week or two before training camp. And it was actually a good move.
Yeah.
It was a good move, one-year deal. And he was a big piece of what they were doing before he went down with the off-the-floor incident that happened in Center City. And he spoke to the media, Derek, for the first time. And you were there at practice with him speaking. And what were some things that stood out to you with what Oubre had to say?
Yeah, well, I guess off the top, looks like he will play on Wednesday. He hasn't talked to Nick specifically about what his role will be. It's likely to be coming off of the bench. He also said that he wasn't going to speak to the details of the incident because that is an active investigation and he's letting that take care of itself. So he did not speak to the particulars of, you know, how he got hit, all that stuff. He did confirm that he broke a rib and that's why he was out, had a fractured rib. Really, I think what he spoke most of was on some of the speculation around people questioning what he called the conspiracy theories around people questioning his version of the hit and run. And again, Oubre was a pedestrian hit in a hit and run accident, which broke his rib. That was what he told the cops. And then because there was trouble finding recordings from the video cameras around town, people started questioning that. There was a big press conference with Nick Nurse. And he really pushed back against this. He says, this was and is a very traumatic situation for me and my family. I just wish my life wasn't like the Truman Show where everybody could kind of watch and have their own opinion
about
my life.
Love the Truman Show reference, by the way.
This is very hard for us to have to deal with and me to miss being on the court, which keeps me insane. He then goes on to talk that some of those people with the conspiracy theories are very inconsiderate and insensitive. And he, just sort of went off on that a little bit. And honestly, he was pretty respectful then. He brought it back and said he had love for everyone. And, this is his life and he takes it seriously and all that stuff. But he called it what was a minor setback for a major comeback. So he's excited to join the team and all that stuff, which you'd kind of expect. But I think those were sort of like the high level takeaways.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I am not really interested in policing the active investigation
Same.
On what's happening, right? Like
Same.
I couldn't sit here and tell you I don't have evidence one way or another of what happened. If the Philadelphia police certainly don't, then I don't. I'm not going to sit here and speculate on what happened to me. And I think Derek and I put the focus on this. The best news is that he He is going to be available to play basketball for the Sixers. Seems like he is healed and is just about healthy. He's ready to go on Wednesday. I'm sure, regardless of what happened, that this whole thing to be the subject of all this speculation, to his point, like being part of the Truman Show, that has been very eye-opening and in some ways traumatic for him, that I'm sure he just wants to get back on the floor. And it's like business as usual, very different than what you did the last few months, Devon. But when you're not doing your job for a while and you just have a lot of time to sit around and hear things about yourself, I'm sure that that's just a weird phenomenon to go through. So
yeah,
I'm happy for him that he's returning. And I do think the indication was he's coming off the bench, but is going to play a lot of minutes. Derek and I have talked about this a lot. Devon, I'm curious to see what your take is. Like, I think that's the best spot for him, is in that bench role, like heavy minute bench role, and it's going to best serve the team that way.
I agree, because when you look at where they are right now with having Batum starting, who can just fill so many different roles within the starting unit, because he is not one who needs the basketball to be productive and to be very helpful for what they do. And he's just that band-aid that just fits and cover up a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm. and also make things go. I've heard you guys talked about it in the past, where it's having someone like him, and we'll get back to Kelly Oubre in just a second, is actually someone who can make an inbounds pass to somebody. The last person before Jimmy Butler was TJ McConnell. And he was the best entry passer that they had, just a very simple basketball play. But to have that there, I'm still conflicted with the D'Anthony Melton thing, because I personally believe he's also his best coming off the bench. Too much pressure with
him. I tend to agree.
In the starting lineup, because he is so hot and cold with the shooting. Go back to the game 6. Yes, he was coming off the bench against Boston. James Harden, as much as we get on him, he did find him for those shots. In the time that he was on the floor in the second half, and he missed those. But Kelly Oubre, for everything that they have with the scoring in the starting five, from Harris, Maxey, and Embiid, and the fill-in roles there with the role players of Melton and with Batum, you need that scoring punch coming off the bench again. And that's what he's going to provide. We know he's a 20-point-per-game scorer coming off the bench, whether it be with Charlotte or with any of the other teams
Golden
that he's
State,
played, Golden
Phoenix,
State, Phoenix,
Washington.
Again, watching him there for a couple of seasons, that we know he can score the basketball, and that's what he's going to do, where he's not really going to interrupt anything. He can come in and flat out fill it up. He can get a bucket. He's a professional scorer, and that's what he's going to come in and do. So having that, and again, being able to maybe limit some of the other minutes from some of the other players, allowing Robert Covington to be Robert Covington. The same thing with Patrick Beverley, even though he went on that crazy run on Friday against Boston and his scoring. It kind
7
of,
free throw attempts for Robert Covington in a game. I never thought I'd see the day.
Same. But it just simply slots everybody into where they are supposed to be on the team for what they are brought here to do. And you know what Kelly Oubre was brought here to do? Score buckets off the bench, score baskets off the bench for Nick Nurse's team. And that's what he's going to come back in here and do. And we've seen the offense bogged down way too many times when Embiid and Maxey are off the floor, or it's too much for Tobias Harris, like we saw against Boston. Well, you know what? If he was having those troubles and you saw Morris taking his shots, and the same with Beverly, Kelly Oubre is going to be like, hey, give me the pill. I got it.
I still
let's
can't
go.
Believe they and wasted that Patrick Beverley game, by the way. Like, what a crime.
I know. It was bad. it was bad. But that's what Kelly Oubre is going to do. So I totally agree that him coming off the bench, filling that role, is the right spot for him. And I think that's how it should be going forward.
Yeah, and listen, like the bunch of those guys you name, if you go through all their bench guys, Pat Bev, Jaden Springer, I mean, long-term, to your point about Melton should probably be with that group. Those are all guys who are either defense first or in some cases defense only type players. And so to get a guy like Kelly, who he can certainly defend, and I think we've been encouraged by how he started the year on defense, I think the main thing you're looking for him is a little bit more shot creation, a guy who doesn't have a conscience in a good way as a shooter. Like, he's going to take shots that I think some other guys would record scratch out of and turn that into a long two or just a lot of swinging the ball around the perimeter. he's going to unclog things a little bit by being with that group in a way that the starting group, frankly, doesn't need that because they have all those weapons available.
And by the way, on some nights when maybe he should have a little more of a conscience, Nick can just send him to the bench and say, all right, look, tonight's not your night. There's, I think, a little more flexibility when he is coming off the bench rather than as a starter. And I think having that carrot to dangle in front of Kelly, somebody who has at times throughout his career, really for most of his career, tried to do too much, having that carrot to dangle is probably good for him as well.
100%.
Settle down, you know. Hey, it's okay, Kelly. You'll be all right. Yeah, because he sometimes
it's
he
like
does
every
get
now
that
and
space.
Then Kyle gets a little too wordy. Now we have Devonk and be like, all right, settle down here, Kyle.
I
let's get back on track.
I saw somebody in the chat earlier who said I'm like the, you know, the separator of you two.
The Zen master.
After all these months, I have to kind of, you know, separate you two.
It's been a long three months.
It has been.
We poke fun at one another, but we wouldn't be doing the show together, all three of us, if we didn't enjoy each other's company to some extent.
I have two forms of humor. I can make fun of myself or I can make fun of Kyle. That's all I have. And honestly, I'd probably do both about equally. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, man, it's been fun watching you guys. Glad to be here.
Not comfortable making fun of Devon yet, though. He's too nice. You can't make fun of Devon.
Yeah, I'm the punching bag and vice versa. We can take it.
I might say something or maybe put my foot up on the table here because my foot is hurting.
Hey, listen,
you might make fun of me.
I mean, that's the way I feel right now. I should be putting my foot up so we can take, Kyle and I can take a good 3-month break on
Edwards. That's fair. I get it.
Listen, we haven't seen you in any FOCO overalls, so we might have to get you.
Well, I used to wear overalls back in the day when they were certainly in.
Like
the
Oshkosh
run.
Bagosh, that
yeah,
type
man,
of deal.
Yeah, man, you know, cross colors or something like that. And you know,
I think he just committed to wearing overalls on the show. I think that's what happened.
I know where you could get some if you're interested in wearing overalls.
Oh, well, we can talk about me wearing overalls and how it might look, but you can certainly get those. Like I saw during the playoff run,
Jamie
and Renee wearing them, and certainly all the fans. I did get to a game or two. I was, you know, minding my business, but I didn't have on the overalls from FOCO, the leading manufacturer of sports and entertainment and merchandise with a product line that includes apparel, accessories, toys, collectibles, novelty items, and much more. Best officially licensed gear for all sports and fandoms. It's football and it's tailgating season. Overalls, hoodies, hats, sunglasses, bags, everything you need for a game. Like if you wanted to stuff something in the front pocket of the overall, like we saw from, of course, Garrett Stubbs, you go into the game.
Yeah.
All of that with the hoodies, the hats, make sure you stay warm out there. We have the place for you. And again, that is FOCO, and they have you hooked up. All you have to do is check in with PHLY. PHLY and FOCO has hooked up PHLY and provided awesome pieces for our sets, as you can see behind us and have seen for the last couple of months. FOCO always has our back for Philly sports, and they have yours too. Get the best gear around by using the link in our description. For all non-presale items, use promo code PHLY10, and that's for 10% off of your purchase. So, yeah, back in the day, while they weren't FOCO, wear them. I wasn't like crisscross or anything where you wear them backwards and all that crazy stuff, but, yeah, definitely had them. With the hoodie, the UNLV hoodie back in the day.
Oh, UNLV.
When they were good. That was my favorite college basketball team, by the way.
Well, that team.
Yeah.
The team. So they humiliated Duke the year they won the title.
Rock.
Them losing to Duke the next year is like one of the most crazy upsets probably ever. And
that was rough.
To the point that people thought that they took money to throw the game. Like right. That's how dominant that UNLV team
Love
was.
That
Did
team.
You have a connection to you, the them outside of just loving
no,
that team?
No, I'm just a basketball fan.
Okay.
Just watching that team and watching how they played. And I have been, as when I was at that age, even though I was still in middle school, my dad, he lives out in California, and he would have conferences in Vegas in the summer. So I would go to Vegas in the summer with him for like a week. And we would go to Thomas & Mack or outside of Thomas & Mack where they had the gym. So it was cool just being there, even though didn't go inside the arena, Thomas right. & Mack. But it was just cool because Larry Johnson, Anderson Hunt, Greg Anthony, Stacey Augmon, George Ackles, all those names. And just watching how they would just beat the crap out of teams. Oh. And it was fun, that running gun, the amoeba defense. I remember all that stuff, man.
It was fun. So I was very young when they were really good, but it's one of those teams that I've gone back and revisited over the years.
Did you watch the Tark documentary?
I did.
Yeah,
Tark the Shark.
Yeah.
If the Sixers didn't choke in the in-season tournament, you could be heading back to Vegas and make a pilgrimage to UNLV.
I think we'll make our way to Vegas, I think, next summer. It's a long time to wait.
All right. But yeah.
Of a gambler, Devon, or no?
Only on the sports apps, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you can't mention any of them.
That's why I said
the sports apps.
When he gives us money, we'll mention them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I dabble.
Actually, while we're on the in-season tournament subject, I think Derek and I probably touched on it. Are you pro, con on?
I was big when it was announced. Why are we doing this? Who asked for this? But clearly, it was Adam Silver and the people upstairs. And I got to tell you, as I watched it, if they took the floor away, it's actually not bad. It wasn't. It's grown on me as a product of what they were doing. It grew on me with how teams were, you know, the respect the game part, where guys, DeMar DeRozan being the first person I think of going off twice because teams were shooting at the end where you're
running up the score.
Yeah, running up the score. The game's already over. Joel Embiid with his three-pointer taking the shot, and they kind of ticked off, but they clearly did not know what the rule was to try to have more points to separate yourself from the other teams in your pool. As it started to play out, I'm like, the Sixers should win this in their pool and play for a spot to make it to Vegas for the quarterfinals. And unfortunately, they didn't. Right. And it grew on me. I wish the court was a little bit different. I was fine with the middle of the floor, the outside where they had the coloring. Right. That is what bothered me. I was talking to my cousin, Mikhail's dad. We were like, why not just keep the middle of the floor like that with the line in it and the trophy and just have the regular hardwood color on the outside? Yeah. We get it. It's a different floor, but all the other stuff.
Or just don't do it bright red or orange.
Well, Brooklyn's, I didn't like that one.
I think the blues and the grays. I didn't love the gray, but at least like I'm not hurting my eyes watching the game. You know, like that was the thing for me. If you want to do some goofy shit, that's fine. But don't make it so I have to like turn the saturation down on the TV.
Yeah, and like if you want to do some goofy shit with the colors, like at least maybe keep that limited to just the out of bounds, not the main area of play.
Yeah,
really focus on a logo, make a killer logo if you want to do that. That's all fine. I agree. It went too far with the colors, just too far.
Yeah, and the uniforms, like I like the City Edition uniforms. They were dope. Sixers were actually one of the better of the 30 teams out there because there are a lot of really bad ones out there. I like Minnesota. I like the Sixers. Some of the other ones, they clearly don't matter because I don't remember.
Nike's been mailing it in on the jerseys, last couple of seasons. Man.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's been tough, but the Sixers have a pretty good one.
By the way, we do have another super chat from Rick says, I love you, Devon, but $20 is $20 because I say only sent $10.
Only sent
$10. We appreciate.
Well, look, Rick, again,
each and every dollar that is sent.
Do you know how many $20 me and Mark have given to each other over the years? That's nothing.
That's a get back, probably, other thing.
Yo, I need $20. Give me $20 real quick. You know what? So he gave us $20 as a company. And again, Rick, that was my brother. So it just so happened that way. So there you go.
So thank you
very
much.
I'll give you $20, Kyle.
I don't even know if I had $20 on me. Right,
yeah, when was the last time you had $20 in cash on you?
Oh, I always keep, well, I don't want to say that, but I do keep cash.
I will say until recently, I had a bunch of craps winnings in my wallet.
I gave my daughter lunch money this morning.
Okay.
So there you go, cash.
Oh, see, big time dad energy. You got
to
make sure.
I have to give the lunch money. Yes, you're allowed to use cards and stuff like that, but no, here's cash. That always speaks different. Yeah. So do we have to get some more chats in before we get out of here? Some more comments.
I mean, there's probably some. You're the man of the hour, Devon.
Yeah, but this you're the one that always reads them and.
I meant more so if there were any questions that we wanted to get to from the. Here we go. Rick, actually, who just did add that super chat, asked earlier, "What do you feel is the best piece to add in the trade, whether a certain player or a certain type of player?"
Can I eliminate? Yeah, so I'm glad you said that because I was just going to strictly eliminate players. No Zach LaVine. Because I just don't think he fits with what they do. He kind of has that system type of player in him. He just doesn't say it out loud.
Are you laughing at
Tafka? System.
Right. And he hasn't done anything where really, Rick, that I look at it and say, is he going to put them over the top? He certainly has the skill set, but the mindset, I just don't know. I don't know that he can do anything to put them over the top. So I would say, Rick, to answer your question, to eliminate that type of player. And it was really... I was really trying to figure out because this is what we all do. We get really nerdy about it, and so do you. We really get into it, and I still haven't figured out that one guy that I just want to throw at everybody and be like, oh, got you.
All the picks, all the contracts, yeah, exactly. Whatever it takes. Yeah.
But I don't like the Zach LaVine part of it. That's one that I'll eliminate right there. Pascal Siakam, I've heard that name, even in the offseason as a free agent piece. Heard you mention the Nick Nurse relationship, and is that a piece of it? I just don't want him on the team. I just don't want to see him on the team. I just don't. I like the player, but I like him from afar. And
I think that's fair.
And even when I like him from afar, sometimes it's, again, because I like him from afar where I can turn him off and not have to worry about talking about him the next day when we have to do some work. And he's one that I will eliminate. I'm intrigued by the Caruso part of things because I do believe that it's more of Maxi has elevated his game so much, Rick, and others, that he has kind of taken that where you were trying to fill that void of that number two star. This dude is one of the best guards in the East this year and may even make his first All-Star appearance this season. So you're now looking at that third option where it's maybe going to push Tobias Harris back to that fourth role of a scorer. Maybe if it's Caruso, that's not going to happen. But other players that you could, OG Anunoby maybe, et cetera.
Yeah, the thing I've been trying to grapple with OG, I'm glad you brought him up, is like, will they end up in the same situation with him as they did with Tobias, where I think we all agree OG, very good player, but he's going to make a lot of money
exactly.
In the offseason. And if you're trading for a midseason, you're likely paying a premium that you don't want to hit that high bar. So you end up basically committing to paying him too much money from Jump Street. Now, I do think the difference is that OG's defensive utility and versatility is in a completely different universe from Tobias.
Yeah. Yep.
But I think he's probably not as versatile an offensive player. Might end up fitting better because he's a more willing catch and shoot three-point volume guy. But I do wonder, for a guy who's not a real shot creator, someone you give the ball to and say, you can go get us a bucket if you're the like lead perimeter guy in a given lineup, if you really feel that comfortable paying right. him, you know, what he's going to command in the offseason.
And we just started to eliminate the 180 million jersey number of Tobias Harris. For a while, it wasn't 33, it wasn't number 12, it was 180 because we couldn't get away from that. You don't want to do that now with OG Anunoby. While he may be younger and a little more versatile with what he does, you don't want to start putting that on him of what is his number
yeah.
that he's making is now his jersey number, because that's all you focus on.
I mean, look, a lot of that comes down to what options are there. Like, if there's a slam dunk available trade line deadline, sure. But I don't think you're going to get a slam dunk in free agency next year. So if it comes down to, you know, OG is the best player you can get and the best fit you can get, I don't think I would pass on trading for him at the deadline to leave open the mystery box of what could be in free agency, because I think you're probably going to be disappointed in free agency if it comes to that. So I think a lot of it depends on what else is out there. And also with OG, I think, you know, yeah, I get the comparison with Tobias because he's probably going to be overpaid and you don't want to be hamstrung by that. At the very least, OG has an elite skill in his defensive versatility, and he has a very good skill in his three-point shooting. I'm not sure Tobias really, he never had an elite skill. That's part of the problem with Tobias. He's good at a bunch of things, good at almost everything, or at least passable at almost
Jack
everything.
Of all trades, master right. of none.
At least OG is a master of defense and
yeah.
defensive versatility, and along with a better just stationary catch-and-shoot player and a more willing catch-and-shoot player. There are certainly warts beyond that, but if he is the best option you can get at the deadline, like I said, I wouldn't not pursue him because you want to
right.
leave open the mystery box of free agency, because I think whoever you're going to pursue in free agency is probably going to be, you know, deficient and you're going to be frustrated with that contract anyway.
Can I also say that since we mentioned Tobias Harris, I love your rant on Friday about Tobias.
Listen,
you just went off and you had to include the amount of money he made, and that part was,
and
that was warranted.
I don't even like to do that.
No, but it was warranted.
I try to keep it to just like, these are what these guys are capable of, what they're responsible for, et cetera. They ultimately are just taking as much money as they can get. I don't begrudge any of these guys. When they're overpaid, I'm happy for them on a personal level that they could convince a team,
yeah.
regardless of whether it's the Sixers or anyone else, to sign them to that deal to help themselves and their families, whatever. But look, it is a real team building restriction that is placed on a team when a guy who's not capable of being a real number three is making number three or really number two, number one type money.
Well, and what frustrates you about Tobias is he's not
to win the game.
Well, and Tobias isn't great at being like an off-ball role player because he's hesitant with that shot. But he also can't really ramp him up as a primary initiator when other players are out because he's not a good passer, because he's not aggressive. So he doesn't really fit either role perfectly well. It's frustrating. But I mean, that's mostly a mistake they made years ago.
Yep.
But they are
and
still
that's, we don't need to relitigate that 100 times. It's like Elton Brand in the front office did what they did, and it is what it is.
He's very fundamental of the, as you said, a jack of all trades. He does a lot of things really well, but he's that fundamental, but not on the level of what Tim Duncan was, where he was Mr. Fundamental and would just destroy you.
He was
right
to that point. He was great. Like, all-time level rim protector, defender maybe the most consistent great player ever. Like, didn't hit as high of highs as some other guys, but a guy like Duncan is like just a metronome, 22, 10, 4 assists, 2 blocks. Like, that guy was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well,
it's the reason they won a ton of games every year.
And he's always left out of the top 10 conversation, isn't he?
I don't get that. It's a story for another day.
Any more comments before we step away and we say goodbye for the
No, day? I think it's That's probably, it? You know, I can we can do a rundown. I don't know if I'm going to pass this responsibility off to
you.
Oh,
no, I'm not taking that. Come on. No, I'm not taking that.
Listen, there are a lot of people, including some new people or some less frequent commenters here today, obviously celebrating our boy Devon, who we're so happy to have here. I would just like to give a shout out to Daquan, Michael, Phyllis, Remo, 2-minute warning, who's always here. Brian, who's here frequently. Provolone John, Randy Rubert, Dave, Elaine, Lauren Gordon, who's specifically excited to see Devon. So look, we got plenty
Thank you, Lauren.
Of Mark, obviously, our big $20 super chatter, Devon's guy. So happy to see him here. Dave, Brian, Leo. I think my guy RJ said that he loves Kyle because I say the things he thinks out loud. So shout out to my guy RJ in the chat. Certainly, we got Walrus, we got Jared, we got Michael Eric B. There are just too many people to name.
I want to see people coming up with really creative names
just to
make Kyle say
tie my tongue.
Yeah.
The bottom line is, as we are each and every day, we're very grateful, thankful for everyone for being here. If you have not already, if you could do so on the way out, hit the subscribe button. If you hit the bell icon, you will get notifications each and every time that we go live. And certainly a nice thumbs up on the video always helps us out. Look, it's Devon's first show. I want to see a ton of thumbs up on this video.
Thumbs up. Get the thumbs up in there.
Really appreciate you guys being here today. We will be back same time tomorrow. And now Devon is not a special guest. He is here for good, and we're so happy about that.
And Derek might let me wear Brooklyn Nets gear. I don't know. Yeah. We'll find out.
I don't know. We'll find out. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
All silly like the mayor.